To those who need deliverance, Pastor Jeff Johnson offers this encouragement.
Turn towards the Lord. He will deliver you. Are you sick and tired of being sick and tired? Turn towards the Lord and He will save you from the pollution that's there in your own heart. As God wants to come in and make you a brand new creation.
Your Spirit leads me on, and I'm running after you. I'll leave behind the worthless lies, and I'm trading them for priceless truth.
How many of us have longed for a new start, new life? Happy to tell you, it's available to all who would turn to the Lord. The gospel offers forgiveness for the past, new life for the present, hope for the future. Welcome to Sound Doctrine with Pastor Jeff Johnson. As we near the end of our study here in 2 Chronicles, we'll hear of God's readiness to save. But that salvation must be received. Well, let's explore that today, shall we? With today's lesson, once again, here's Pastor Jeff.
Second Chronicles chapter 36. And remember, we talked about it was the greatest of times, but the worst of times. We watched how Josiah went out, and it wasn't pretty. It was a shame. But this is it. I mean, Josiah is the last of the kings that brought revival. So this is the end of the revival in Judah. It's kind of sad, but yet we know the scripture says this, and just jot this down, Romans chapter 8, verse 13, for if we live after the flesh, you that are living after the flesh, you shall die. And that's what this chapter is teaching. Over in Judges 21 and 25, it says that everyone did that which was right in their own eyes. They did their own thing, and because they did their own thing, they paid dearly for leaving the Lord, turning their back on God, walking away from God. So this is the end. Judgment is coming to Judah. God will not always strive with man. Genesis 6:3. There comes an end where God says, enough is enough. In fact, it's gone way over because He's long-suffering, remember? He's not willing that any should perish, but that all come to repentance. And so He waits. Even as they're turning their backs and burning the little babies in the hands of a red-hot stone god, even when they're totally backslidden and into all kinds of orgies and sexual craziness, God hung in there. But here in the last chapter, we see the end very clear. Let's look at it. Chapter 36 of 2 Chronicles. Then the people of the land took Jehoahaz, the son of Josiah, and made him king in his father's stead in Jerusalem. Josiah had four sons, and we're going to see what happens to them as we move very quickly through this chapter. This is a chapter that's plunging into death. It's like, you know, the vultures are flying around, going down to the corpses, hitting them, going back up, and then hitting them again. I mean, it's just one thing after another. So Jehoahaz, notice verse 2, was 23 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned for 3 months in Jerusalem. Hey, big reign. 3 months? What happened to you? Well, in 2 Kings 23:32, it says, Jehoahaz did evil in the eyes of the Lord. He did as all of those sons of great kings that thought they knew what was best and turned away from the things of God after father dies and went towards the flesh. You sow to the flesh, you're going to reap corruption. And verse 3, the king of Egypt put him down. Wow. At Jerusalem. So here we have the king of Egypt in the south coming and dealing with Jerusalem and condemned the land and 100 talents of silver and a talent of gold. So here we enter into the captivity of Judah. Of course, the Egyptians, they're fighting for their lives. They want to be the empire. We know that the Assyrians in the north have already fallen and been pushed out of Nineveh. The Babylonians came down and they now are a powerful force. They chased the Assyrians out, Egypt wanting to join with the Assyrians to try to help them because they were kind of connecting. Went through the land, and we know the story. Josiah tried to stop them and where he shouldn't have done it. But he went ahead and tried to stop them anyhow. He got killed because God spoke to him, "Don't touch it. Don't go there. Let these guys pass. Let them have their thing, whatever they're doing." Sometimes we're not to get involved politically. Or I'm going to chain myself to a door, man. That's what I'm going to do, you know. And people get involved. They get in the flesh. And I'm going to make a point, you know. And you shouldn't have been there. You shouldn't have done it. And you get hurt. A lot of people have been hurt that way. So the king of Egypt made Eliakim, his brother, king over Judah and Jerusalem, and turned his name, changed it, Jehoiakim. Now, that means that he wanted to make a statement to Jerusalem, to Judah, and that statement was, "You're subservient to us, and I'm going to just change your name, and I'm going to do whatever I want with you, and you're going to be my puppet." And so that's what's going on here. And Necho, who was the leader of Egypt, took Jehoahaz, his brother, and notice, carried him to Egypt. The Egyptians always did. They just carry away. Or all of them did. Syrians, the Babylonians, they just carried their captives back to their country. It just mixes up the people. They don't know the language. They don't know the culture. And they end up as slaves. So he took the king and just moved him away. Now, Jehoiakim reigns over Judah. This is an accelerated plunge, like I said, into exile. That's what's happening here. It says that Jehoiakim was 25 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned for 11 years in Jerusalem. That's a pretty long time to be king, especially when you're evil. And this guy was evil, like his brother. He did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. He oppressed the poor in the nation of Judah. And he persecuted the prophets that would come forth and speak concerning the things that God was dealing with Judah with, trying to wake them up, trying to let them see that they have had 100 years to repent and to do that which is right in God's sight. And they wouldn't listen. They kept running away from God. They kept turning their backs on God. So Nebuchadnezzar drove the Egyptians. They heard that Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonian forces were coming from the north down to raid this Middle East area. And so they moved them out of Jerusalem and they went back to Egypt. Verse 6, against him came up Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and bound him in fetters. So the king moves into town. It's like one thing hits him, it's another thing that hits him. And they're just getting beat. And it's like God is allowing these things to take place. This is God's people. This is God's temple. I mean, think of that. I mean, this is the holy place where God's Shekinah was on the ark. And all these crazy nations are coming in and just punishing them. So they bound this Jehoiakim in fetters, brass handcuffs, and they carried him to Babylon. This is what they call the first invasion, not only the first invasion, but the first deportation of those in Jerusalem to a strange land called Babylon in Nineveh. 605 BC, Nebuchadnezzar, verse 7, also carried the vessels of the house of the Lord, to Babylon. Remember Belshazzar? Remember he was having a big party there in Daniel, and they were drinking and carrying on. And God says there was handwriting on the wall. You're a lightweight. You've been weighed in the balances. You're guilty. Your kingdom this very night is going to be taken from you, Belshazzar. And as they're having a drunken orgy. But they had the vessels there in Babylon and put them in his temple in Babylon. Now, this is also the time where Daniel was taken away with the young. See, the cream of the crop, the young men, including Daniel, was taken at this time into Babylon. Now, the rest of the acts of Jehoiakim and his abominations, I mean, that's evil. Abominations is you don't care about God. You don't care what he said. You do the opposite of what God said. That's an abomination. Remember, he said to the children of Israel, when you go into the land, make sure that you don't do certain things there in, I think it was Deuteronomy 18. And don't cause your children to go through the fire. Don't get into the other nations. Don't do these things that the heathen are doing. If you do these abominations, then you're going to pay dearly. So he laid the law down to them, and they didn't listen. And so it says that he did abominations that was found in him. Behold, they are written in the book of the kings of Israel and Judah. And Jehoiachin, look at these great names. I haven't seen too many people with those names lately. Jehoiachin. Say that again. His son reigned in his stead. So again, it's been handed over. Jehoiachin now is taken captive to Babylon. Notice Jehoiachin was 8 years old. Some say, no, it was 18. So there's a discrepancy there. It's actually in the Hebrew where you couldn't go either way. 8, 18. It doesn't matter. He was a young kid when he reigned. And when he began to reign, and he reigned for 3 months, check this out, and 10 days. So his reign wasn't very long in Jerusalem. And he did also that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. It seems that there's a pattern going on here. These guys can't get out of it. They're just continuing to do it. They're not repenting. They're not crying out to God. Talk about hard. Remember what Jesus said? In the latter days, men's hearts will grow cold, hard, and they won't care. And we're in those days, and we see it. We see it on the news. We see it in what's going on in the world today. Talk about hard hearts, not caring what they do to humanity. I mean, this is pagan stuff that goes way back in history that they're bringing out again now. To bring fear into the hearts and the minds of the people in the Middle East. It's working. Everybody's backing off, letting them do their own thing. Even us, who are supposed to be sort of the police of the world and try to say, don't do that. If you do that, then this is going to happen. It's not happening, is it? What's going on? Is God allowing this to take place? And what's the plan? Especially when you look at the United States of America, where are we at in this thing? Hopefully not like Judah. Time's up for Judah. It's enough. It's done. And when the year was expired, King Nebuchadnezzar sent and brought him to Babylon. Again, here we go, the second deportation. He comes in there and takes masses of people. And he only chooses the cream of the crop, takes the king, all his court, everybody. And he just does what he wants. And the goodly vessels of the house of the Lord, they keep stripping it, raping the house of the Lord, taking everything out of it. And here we go. And he made Zedekiah, his brother, king over Judah and Jerusalem. Now, we know this about Zedekiah. He was the last of the 20 kings over Judah. He was it, the bottom of the barrel, Zedekiah. Worst of all, because he was a puppet. He just did it for money. He did it for whatever he could get, and he abused the people, and he was not a good king. This is in 597 BC. So Zedekiah, verse 11, was 120 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 11 years in Jerusalem. God's patience and long-suffering continues. God's waiting for them to turn. Is God waiting for you to turn? Is God waiting, long-suffering with you and being patient with you and what you're doing to your home, to your family, what you're doing in your job? You know what you're doing, and you know you're just biding your time, because what goes around comes around. Whatever a man sows, he will reap. So if God is speaking to you, he's here. His Spirit is here to bring conviction to our hearts and to get us out of the sin into his loving presence, to experience his grace, his joy, his peace. If you'll just repent, if you'll just say, I'm sorry, God. Okay, I get it. You got my number, and I know it's me. I can't leave here without getting it right. That's awesome. What a victory. Restoration is always an awesome victory. Verse 12, and he did that which is what? Evil. Here we go. I mean, the last king, the last chance. He's doing evil in the sight of the Lord, his God. Notice, he humbled not himself. Wait a minute. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, if my people that are called by my name will turn away from their wicked ways and what? Humble themselves. Then I will move and I will save their nation. And they had the whole thing laid out for them. I mean, step by step. You know what you need to do. You're not doing it. They were so hard. They didn't care. When it came to God, hey, get out of my face. So he humbled not himself before Jeremiah the prophet, speaking from the mouth of the Lord. Here's Jeremiah sharing the word as I'm sharing the word with you. And they didn't have ears to hear. They didn't have hearts to receive. They just said, no, I'm turning it off right now. I'm not going to listen to this guy. He says he's talking from the, this is from the Lord. Well, it is. It's direct from God through the messenger to your heart. Now, what are you going to do with it? You got to deal with that. You say, well, why did I come tonight? I don't even want to be here right now. Well, God's got you here, so you might as well take it all in and receive what he has for you through your repentance. You had a divine appointment with God, and you made it. You go, no, they just forced me here. I went out to dinner with them, and they said, come and have a meal. And I said, oh, I'm hungry, all right. But then we're going to go to church. And it's cool. The ceiling's not going to fall on you. Don't worry about it.
I've never been in one of these places before, man. What are you doing to me?
Just sitting you before the Almighty God who loves you, who gave his son to die for you, that if you would believe that God raised Jesus from the dead, you should not perish, but have everlasting life. Verse 13, and he also rebelled against King Nebuchadnezzar. He's just a rebellious guy. He don't like anybody, even King Nebuchadnezzar, who could have his head off at any moment, who had made him swear by God, but he stiffened his neck. Check this out. Stiffened his neck, hardened his heart from turning unto the Lord God of Israel. How could you do that? After seeing his love, after seeing his provision, after seeing one miracle after another through the revival of the kings, the good kings, how can you do that? I mean, the track record is there. When everyone sought the Lord, cried out to God, they had the greatest Passover. They had the greatest time in the presence of God. But then they started to turn it away. This Zedekiah is a very weak, cold-hearted, I don't know, God says I'll turn him over to a reprobate. I think this is a reprobate. He just don't want God. He don't want to get saved. He doesn't care. So moreover, all the chief priests and the people transgressed sin. They were unfaithful to God very much, it says, after all the abominations of the heathen. They did it all. The orgies, the burning of the children, the worshiping the idols, they did it all. And polluted the house of the Lord, which he had hallowed in Jerusalem. His very presence was there. You know, when sin enters the camp, God leaves. God leaves until that sin is removed. Remember Achan, how he stole and he thought no one saw him hide it. God saw him. And they went on to the next city to take the next city. And they lost so many men. They couldn't believe it. They said, oh God, what has happened? Your hand is off of us. Why aren't we having victory like with Jericho? And God says, there's sin in the camp. You got to get it out. Get it out of your home. Get it out of your refrigerator as you go home tonight and dump it. Quit playing around. Yeah, but I like to feel good when I get home from work. And, you know, and I don't think marijuana is evil. Just one, you know. And then, well, I know I had three the other night. It seems to be not doing its thing to me, you know. I know exactly what you're saying. You got to get rid of it, man. Just turn. Turn towards the Lord. He will deliver you. Are you sick and tired of being sick and tired? Turn towards the Lord and he will save you from the pollution that's there in your own heart. As God wants to come in and make you a brand new creation, when he comes in, sin leaves. There is a conquering of sin that happens through Christ. And the life that I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me, gave his life for me. I'm crucified with Christ. He gave me victory. He keeps me. He started the work. He's going to finish it. He's faithful. We're unfaithful. But he's faithful. And he's just seeking to say, come on, let me walk with you. Let me live inside of you. You can be a walking holy place, man, because I am in your life. And blessings upon blessings. Notice, the Lord God of their fathers sent to them by his messengers, rising up in early times and sending, because he had compassion on his people and on the dwelling place. I mean, God didn't want it to end. God doesn't want our relationship with him to end. And many times he sends a messenger to speak to you. Maybe it's a friend. Maybe it's your wife. I don't know. But he'll send someone to you and he'll let you know that you're in a dangerous place and you need to turn about face because you're pushing the envelope and you're on the edge. And any moment you could be taken out. So God goes way back to their fathers. See, all the way through 2 Chronicles and 1 Chronicles, the kings, there were good kings and there were bad kings. But there were more bad kings. This is what ruined everything. God gave them an example of the Assyrians moving into the north area of the country where all the 10 tribes were. They're gone. They've taken them away. And then God says, okay, you got 100 years to get it right. That was an example. Do you want that to happen to you? Oh, no. It's going to happen if you don't lighten up. And they wouldn't lighten up.
Pastor Jeff Johnson with a sobering lesson from history. It's a timely one for us today, and we'll hear more about it right here next time on Sound Doctrine. We're at the tail end of a study in 2 Chronicles, and today's message goes by the title of God's End is Grace. Well, remember, you can always access these studies when you visit our website at sounddoctrineradio.org. If you have a smartphone or tablet, you can download the free app. Just do a search for Calvary Chapel Downey. And we can also send you a CD copy of this message. When you call 800-353-7553. And just mention today's date and the suggested donation is $5. Well, the past year and a half has been super challenging. Many of us have been struggling with fear. Some are afraid of getting COVID. Others afraid of dying. Some fear losing their job. Now, if that describes you, we'd like to encourage you to order a copy of Face Your Fears. You can move from fear to faith, and Pastor Ed Taylor explains how in this helpful little book, again entitled Face Your Fears. It is our featured resource this month at Sound Doctrine. Call us right now, 800-353-7553, or visit sounddoctrineradio.org. And when you give to support Sound Doctrine, you're helping to make this daily radio program possible. And we are very grateful for each and every gift that does come in. We wish we had the time to tell you all the good things God is doing in and through Sound Doctrine. To donate, again, visit sounddoctrineradio.org. We'll finish up 2 Chronicles tomorrow on Sound Doctrine. This program is listener-supported and brought to you by Calvary Chapel Downey.